Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's good. God is good. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, it's the only place in the world, in heaven, that you'll find joy and happiness. This weekend, I spent some time with my son-in-law is of Hispanic descent, so we had a birthday party for his firstborn son, which is my daughter's son. He married my daughter, but it was really interesting that we got to spend so much time with believers and non-believers all mixed together, and it was really a good time to let your light shine, to let God do whatever he wants to do. Anyway, God is good. Today, if I had a title for this message, oh, by the way, if anybody ever has any complaints, I'm actually the one who schedules all the teaching now, which is quite funny because I'm the most disorganized person I know. My wife told me that the other day. She kind of laughed at, you're the most disorganized person. But I take it pretty serious. I try to hear from the Lord and schedule whoever, but I wanted to come today because I missed you guys. I missed coming here, and so I really enjoy coming here. So God is good. But if I had a title for today's message, it would be A New Creation. I'm going to read a scripture in a minute, but I just want to tell you about whenever you see a word in the Bible and you think it means something. Like, for instance, when it says in Colossians where it says, Jesus is the firstborn of all creatures. It's talking about us. It's not talking about turtles and, you know, trees and all that kind of stuff. It's talking about us. Because we are God's. God created everything for us. And we actually created everything for Jesus. Everything in the Bible that's mentioned that talks about your sin, that's talking about your flesh. Anything in the Bible is talking about you doing a good work, that's Jesus. So you have to look at it that way. When you read the Bible, it's you don't read it by the letter. You read it, now that you're a Christian, you read it spiritually. You read it as a new creation. You read it to get to know Jesus. And that's it. There's no other reason to read the Bible, not to be smart or to be interesting or to get a sermon or to do anything like that. You're just reading it to know Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. He's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. The letter of the Word killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So when you read the Bible, you're not reading it to get the letter. You're reading it to get the Jesus part, because that's who you are. Now, that's what we're going to talk about. If you're a new creation, that means it's kinekitesis. It's in the Greek. It just means you're new of a different kind. You're not like the world. I noticed, you know, this is a time of year where everybody's having graduation parties and, you know, weddings. We've been going to all kinds of stuff. And we even had a party at our house last night, like I said, for my grandson. And it's interesting to see the difference, you know, between a Christian and non-Christian. I mean, there is a difference, but it's not, the difference isn't you, the difference is Jesus. The difference is he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The difference is you're a new creature. Now, it's by faith. It has to be. Because the Bible says, just shall live by faith. So everything you do, think, feel as a Christian is all by faith. And the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. It's by faith. So heaven, Jesus came down to bring heaven on earth for you. On earth as it is in heaven. So the heaven we have in this earth right now, we do. We live in heaven. And we have heaven on earth, not because of our circumstances, not because of where we live, not because we have a really nice garden in our backyard or we have kids that obey us and that are awesome. No, it's because it's just by faith. And that's how we live. So everything the Bible says about us, to us and through us, is all we need. You don't need anything else. If you put your hand to the plow, if you're born again and you're spirit-filled and you're moving on with the Lord, and you can't look back, and you can't entangle yourselves in the affairs of this world, you have to cast all your cares on the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. He does all that. So all you do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added to you. It's that simple. Yet it's not, because we want to do stuff and we want to be important and we want to have value and dignity and all this stuff we want, when God's already given us all that stuff for free. All your value, all your dignity, all your worth comes from Jesus. That's why it says in the Bible there's neither Jew nor Greek, female, male, bond or free man. You know, all are one in Jesus. That's because the same Jesus that lives in me lives in my wife. So it's the same. The only difference is maybe we have different callings and different gifts, but that doesn't mean anything. Just whatever you do, you do as unto the Lord. Because the Lord is the only one that matters. Jesus, so your new creation, you, Alex, the new you, is Jesus in you. The new you is not you fixed up, not your flesh, you know, improved. Well, I lost weight, so I feel better. Or, you know, I got new makeup. Or, I'm sorry, women, I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to think of some things guys care about. Stuff. I got some new toys. I'm awesome. So it's not that. It's just a new creation. So let's turn to the obvious scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we can read that. 5:17. Okay. Is that right? Yeah. Let's start in 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, not even yourself. It's not interesting to know yourself after the flesh or to know other people after the flesh. It's only interesting that as an individual, Jesus loves you. As an individual, you and yourself are precious to God. Even if you were the only one that ever got born again or that ever, God would be happy. He's just that way. That's how much He loves you. Jesus died specifically, knowingly, consciously for you. Yourself, you individual. For Alex, for Leah, for all of us. He died for, as a group, yes, okay, we got the corporate church and all that, but that's just to get individuals to grow. It's not to become some social conglomerate of community or whatever. Even though that is true, we do have that. But it's only because individually, individual by individual by individual by individual by individual by individual, that's how our country is created. The individual is important. When God spoke to Abraham, He spoke to Abraham. He was an individual. And that, and through Abraham, all the nations and all, and I'm just saying this by faith because it's in the Bible, all nations are blessed through Abraham. Amen. But I can't figure that out. I don't even know how that all works. But I know that's true. Amen. It's because of Jesus. Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness. He was the father of faith. So faith is everything. Now faith, later on we won't need it because we'll see Jesus and we'll be just like Him. We'll see Him as He is and we'll just go, ah. You know why? Because He's in you. You're just looking in a mirror.
Hallelujah.
Right? Isn't that amazing?
Thank you, Jesus.
When you see Jesus, it'll be just like looking in a mirror.
Amen.
And all your flesh, all your sin, all your stuff will be gone, and it'll just be Jesus, you and Jesus. And that's just the way it is. But now in this life we're living as a new creation. So when God created you, not only at the beginning when He created you in the womb, but when you were born again, or when you were born from above, or you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, that's your born again thing. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not you being improved, or man's always trying to improve himself. That's the whole world. They create their own morality, they create their own what's important. You know, some people work out a lot and they become awesome. Some people go to college, and some people are intellectual, some people are political, some people are whatever the thing is. Some people are into social justice, and some people are into, you know, all kinds of stuff. But we're a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Old things are past. All that stuff does not matter. I can't even say the word. Whatever ethnic background you're of, that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Your culture, nothing. I notice that most cults, including my own, it's not all bad, but I'm just saying that most of it's just evil. It's just man at his best. Man trying to improve, or I want to belong to some group. You ever know that people are so intense about belonging to some group when all you have Jesus? So your fellowship is with the Father and the Son. This is in 1 Corinthians. Might be 2 Corinthians, but your fellowship is in heaven. Your fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and then with one another. The reason why we have fellowship together is because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with, I'm this person, so you're that person, so let's have fellowship together. No, it's because of Jesus only. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or you're Hispanic or you're African or whatever, that stuff doesn't matter, or Indian. All those things mean nothing if you're Jew or Gentile. Okay, so let's get to the new creation here. And that He died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. That's what I was just talking about, ethnic groups and all that. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know Him no more. You will never know Jesus after the flesh, because flesh will never know Jesus. Flesh is just going to know itself, and is selfish and wicked and evil. And that's the part of you that's dead. If you died with Christ, seek those things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. If you are dead, and you are, your life, you are dead, which is good. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. So you're already there. You're already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but it's by faith. So you meditate on that. You think about that. Think on things above, not on things of the earth. For all that's in the world, all. Now this is the Bible talking, and God is crazy the way He talks. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's it. That's all we have in this life. If you are not a Christian, that's all hope you have. All you have in this world is lust of the flesh. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. The lust of the eyes, it's all obvious. And the lust, the boastful pride of life. Man, I accomplished something. I did awesome. I did this. I got a, like Pastor Jim, I even have a degree in college and have all those things. But gosh, Paul said I count all those things but dung. Dung. That's about as low as you can get, dung. I don't know anything much lower than dung. So Paul counted all those things, being a great religious man, being a leader, being powerful, smart. Paul was probably a genius. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was taught by Gamaliel, one of the top rabbis. he was the top. In the world, he was the top. Jews loved him. I'm sure even the Romans probably loved Paul before he became a Christian, because he was getting rid of this sect, these stupid Christians that were, you know, causing all these problems. Do you ever notice that Christians always are a problem in this world? Always. I was telling the other church, Fort Worth Church, about this. I watched this movie, and this guy was, I wanted to watch it because the guy was living, because he was homeschooling his kids, and me and Leah have homeschooled our kids. It was called, Captain Fantastic or something like that. But anyway, that doesn't mean anything. But the guy was homeschooling his kids, not for Christian reasons, it's quite the opposite. Because he wanted to stick it to the man, you know, one of those guys, real rebellious and all that. So he had these kids, and his wife just passed away, and he was teaching his kids, and he taught. It was unbelievable. These kids were smart, and they knew a lot, because he had all these books, and he was teaching. It was all worldly stuff, but it was, you know, philosophy and math, history, all kinds of stuff these kids knew. But he was, one day he was teaching them, he goes, okay, kids, I want you to respect all religions, all philosophies, no matter if it's Buddha. I want you to, in other words, everything's okay. And then one of his kids raised his hand. He goes, except for Christians? And he goes, yes, except for Christians. So when I heard that, I thought, gosh, that is so true. Everything in this world has respect and has love and has, you know, everybody wants to get along and all that, except Christians can't get along because we can't accept certain things because of the Bible. But Jesus knew that before. He said, he said the world will hate you because it hated me. Jesus was never loved in this world. He was always hated. They despised him. It killed him. He was despised, it even says in the Bible, he was despised and he was rejected. Everybody hated Jesus. Well, they loved him when he did some miracles and stuff like that. If you ever notice, if you're doing stuff like that, then people like you and stuff. But if you say something in the Bible that they don't agree with, then they hate you. Even if you say it in love. Even if you're loving people and but some will love you. Some will repent and turn from their wicked ways and they will come, but some won't. And you just have to live that way. People will hate you and people will love you. It's kind of like Pastor Jim. Some people just despise him. I mean, hate his guts. And then some people love him. It's just, that's the way it is. In this world, we have trouble, 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 trouble. But be of good cheer. And you can always be happy all the time. All you got to do is remember who you are.
Amen.
I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become. That means you're a new creation of a different kind that has never before existed. The moment you're born again. It's just like coming into the world. When you're born, you're born into this world. And when you're born again, you're totally new. All things, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Therefore, hence we know no man after flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet we henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Talking about those things. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Now in Galatians chapter 6, it says the same thing. It says, there's tons of scriptures. It says, in verse 15, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And there's another scripture that says, you know, I quoted it before about there's neither male nor female. You know, and the God doesn't look at everything in the world. To me, and to you too, probably, all of us, the world's divided The word always rightly divides the world. The world is divided into two groups. Basically, I mean, it's more than that, but you got new creation and not new creation. Either you're a new creation or you're not. So if you're a Jew and you're not a new creation, then you're not a new creation. Then you're not of God. You're not one of His. If you're a new creation, but there is Jews that are new creations. There is Hispanics that are new creations. There is the black community are new creations. There's white community. All the communities all have somebody. Because the Bible says they do. Every tongue, every tribe, every family, every nation, everybody will have somebody that's a Christian. In my family, we have Christians. Some are not. And I don't know, some of my cousins or nephews or nieces, because I have a huge family. I mean, big. Really big. So I don't even know some of them. But I'm sure there's, out of every family in my group, my little group there is all, I mean, we're all from Bohemians, German, that kind of group of people. I'm sure some of them are Christian. I know they are. Because one thing, I pray for them, and another thing, I just know that because the Bible says there are. So everybody will have a group, or somebody in your family, or somebody in your nation, or somebody in your ethnic group, or somebody in your tribe that is a Christian, that loves God, because the Bible says that. Okay? So I wanted to look in Colossians. Sorry I'm jumping around. I usually don't do this, but I just thought this was very interesting. How we look at God, like you got to look at God like we're connected to Him, like we're part of His body. We're actually part of Jesus because He's in us. He's in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's in us the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of the gospel. The whole mystery of the gospel that we live by. The gospel is that Christ is in you. He's doing all the work. He's doing all the dying. He's doing all the things that we can't do, which is nothing. That's why we enter into a rest. And I hope everybody here has entered into that rest. The Bible says to labor. In Hebrews it says to labor into enter into that rest. The word labor means to use speed. Get there as quick as you can. It doesn't mean you're striving. I know a lot of people think, well, I got to labor. I'm trying to get in there. But it's not. It's actually quite the opposite. You're resting. And when you're rested, when you're just totally at peace, totally trusting in the Lord, then everything that you thought was important, everything that you were striving against, it becomes nothing. So how many cares do we have? Well, tons, but we cast them all on the Lord. And He cares for them, so you let God do all the stuff. And that is literally the way I live. I just let every God take care of that. If I have a problem or I have a situation with a relationship or whatever, I always pray. I always say, God, you know, this is the situation. I repent on my part. I repent, God. I'm sorry. I didn't trust you. And I hated that person. I despised them. I wanted them to see him dead. That's how I thought. That's how you should talk about to the Lord. And I, because the Bible, when it talks about sin, it doesn't say, well, I kind of didn't like that person. Or, man, I just don't like their whatever, you know. But, you know, you despised them and hated them. So you have to repent that way. God, forgive me. That's not who I am. And then He comforts you. That's what repentance means. You're comforted by that. Because you're exposed. And it's awesome. I'll tell you, it's good. It's good for you to be totally exposed. Not to people, necessarily, but to God. Just to be totally raw, totally open, totally talking to Him. I mean, He's a person. He's your God. He's a person. He's somebody that you have a relationship with. Somebody you can pour your heart out to, you know. You can read Psalms. David's pouring his heart out to the Lord. You can tell Him anything you want. Because it says already that He knows everything. He knows your every thought. knows your every, even knows the hairs on your head. So if you lose a hair, I think all the hair in our house ends up in the shower sink because the other day I had a hanger. Yeah, I'm serious. I had a little piece of copper and I made a little hook on the end. I always use that to clean the, because I have a lot of girls in our house and their hair, I don't know what happens, but the sink gets clogged really bad. But I couldn't get it out because the copper wasn't stout enough. So I had to, so I got a hanger and I made a hook and I was, it was making this weird noise. I was going, it's going, and it popped out. And it was like big old long thing of hair. I was like, oh my, this is gross. It's really bad. But that was my, and you know, I had to, you had to talk to my wife, but when it comes to plumbing, I'm never a Christian, ever a Christian. But I, you know. So, let's read, Colossians 2. Let's start in verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy is a vain deceit. After traditions of men. That's what the freedom of being a Christian is. You have no obligation to be anything except, I mean, you really have no obligations at all. You're just trusting in the Lord. So you're free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty where Christ has set you free. Be not entangled again into the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage, or the elements of the world, is law. We're not under any law. If you're under the law, then you'll sin. That's what gives sin its strength. The strength of sin is the law. That's just what it says that in the Bible. So so if you're under a law, then that's you have to live by it. You have to be perfect. But if you're free, then you're free to do the law. Jesus said, "I come to establish the law," but He's established the law. Don't be confused, like He set up the law to get you. Or something. No, He established the law, but He establishes the law through you. He comes, He died for you, forgave all your past, all of it. Everything's forgiven. Everything. Whatever you can think of that you did, wicked, evil, that's forgiven. Every thought you've had. But it's like that every morning. That's why I'm so glad that His mercies are new every morning. But as a matter of fact, the Lord blesses those who trust in His
mercy.
I didn't trust in the law. But I trust in the law as far as if it's Jesus, I do. Because He's the one that fulfilled the law. He establishes the law for you. He lived His life for you. Through, in you, inside of you, the law is written in your heart. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 8 also. It's written in your heart. And then He lives His life through you so you can love your neighbor as yourself. But you're not looking. You can't check it out because you don't know. Don't check out your flesh. Don't check out how well you're doing ever. Never, ever, 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 ever worry about your sin, worry about your flesh, worry about anything. Just focus on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the hope of glory. He's doing all the work. Beholding Him, you are changed. So if you want to change, you know, if you want to do something, you want to be disciplined or you want to not be so disorganized or whatever, like I am, then you just look at Jesus and you just do stuff by faith. And it's awesome because then you're not worried about it. You're not fearful. You're not stressed out. You're not taking antidepressants and doing all this stuff because you're free. You're free. People that are on a lot of medication for their mind, you know, stuff and all that, it's because they have a care. They have a law. I have this law. Like, I met this guy one time. This is just a for instance. I met this guy one time. He actually went to our church for a long time. This is a long time ago, 20-something years ago. But his thing was, I always keep my promise. That was his law. I could tell the way he said it. I never, ever. don't keep a promise. If I say I'm going to be somewhere, that's good. You should be, but I never am. But you should be. You keep a promise, but only God can do that. So he was under that, so now he was bound by it. If you make a law, you're bound by it. That means you have to do it, and you have to do it perfect. You can't ever make a mistake. If you make one little tittle of a mistake, then it's over. Then you're done. Now what do? You have to drink, or you have to do something to cover the thing up if you're not going to Jesus. So don't ever make a law. Don't ever curse yourself or say, oh, I'm this way and da-da-da. You don't know. You don't know anything. You don't even know yourself. Only God knows you. And he'll take care of everything. So just trust him. I never say, you just let your SBS, you know, we know. And if you mess up, you mess up. It's too bad. Jesus still loves you and he'll forgive you. Just all you got to do is tell people, God, I'm sorry. My daughter's friend, they kind of grew up with us. They had three daughters and a son, and we had three daughters and a son. They're all basically the same age. And so they actually lived on the same property as we did out in the country. And one day, her name was Rebecca. She was walking home. She was about, I don't know how old she was. She was a little kid, probably less than 10 years old. But I thought, man, I'm going to scare her. So I was behind a tree, and she was walking. There wasn't a lot of wood. It was through a field. Anyway, so I jumped out, and she still remembered it yesterday. I was talking to her yesterday. Well, I brought it up. I actually go, Rebecca, I just thought of it. I go, man, I am so sorry. And I could tell she was still kind of upset about it. But I said, you know, I am so sorry that I did that, because I scared her. So all her problems in her whole life were my fault. No, but I just remembered that. I guess whenever something comes to my mind, I think, well, it might be the Lord. So I'm just going to take care of it right now and get rid of it. And not, I think one thing in my life, and I think that God's doing it all of our lives, is we're not being so not so fakey, or not so trying to cover our lives up like we're something or we're great or we're awesome. Just be who you are, and let God, let the new creation in you, that's Jesus, and that'll take care of everything. Because see, that's his job. Jesus does all the work because he's powerful. He's awesome. He does everything, and we are weak. Just read First, Second Corinthians and the first few chapters. You'll see that we are weak, and he is strong.
Hallelujah.
We can't do anything, nothing. But it looks like, but don't go by looks. It looks like people are getting stuff done. It does. To me, it does. Even churches and people that are out in the world and corporations look like they're getting stuff done. But it's all just, it's nothing. It's just a bunch of toys. It's just a bunch of entertainment. I just can't believe that, you know, that scripture that says, in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, that's us. We got so much entertainment. So many distractions that keep us from serving the Lord, from our undivided attention to the Lord. And the Bible even tells us, think on these things. Now, it makes that list, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is a good report. That's talking about Jesus. Everything the Bible talks about Jesus. If you read a law in here, that's for Jesus. And he'll do it. He'll forgive you for not doing it. And he'll do it inside of you. And then he'll do it through you. So every law, everything it talks, when it talks about love your wife as Christ loved the church, it's talking about Jesus. It's not talking about you. It's talking about the new you. It's not talking about the old you. It's talking about the new you. So everything in the Bible that talks about doing a good work, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's talking about Christ in you. It's not talking about you. You. Your old man, your old flesh that can do nothing. Because without him, you can do nothing. With him, you can do all things. So everything that the Bible says you can do, then you can do it by faith in Jesus. Not in your flesh, not in your, you know, human abilities or your awesomeness. And we all think we are. That's why the Bible repeatedly, all the time says, even says in James, receive the engrafted word, you know, that's able to save your soul. But it's talking about, we receive it with meekness. And there's, they talk, a lot of talk about meekness and being humble. Because we have nothing we can do. Only Jesus does all the work. All. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's actually the Holy Spirit now is doing all the work. He does all the work. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the one that does all the miracles. If you need healing, that's the Holy Spirit. If you need financial help, that's the Holy Spirit. If you need anything you need, God said, because he promised. He said, I'll supply all your needs. If you need emotional happiness, whatever, then God supplies it. Because you don't even know what you need. Every morning I wake up, I don't know what I need that day. I know I need Jesus. I know I need his mercies. Because his mercies are new every morning. His right hand has gotten me the victory. Every morning. Every morning I start out in victory. I read Psalms, and I tell Jesus I love him, and I always start out in victory. Don't think about, but I get distracted like everybody else, you know. Oh, I start thinking about, like this morning I was praying, and I started thinking about something that was still, I mean, it wasn't, I don't know, it was evil, I guess it was evil, but it was just something that, about the house or something. And I always go, God, I'm so distracted by stuff. I get so, I'm just like a little kid, you know, I'm on my way to do something. Go empty the trash. And then on the way, you're playing with bugs and doing all kinds of stuff. And you do that for a while, you forget. That's why you have to be just diligent to get to the Word and get to Jesus as soon as you can every day. Because it'll change your day, and it's worth doing. It's worth getting up early. It's worth doing all that because, I mean, you need him. You need God desperately. You desperately need God. You might not know that, or the world might not know that, but they do. They need God desperately. But no, we can do it ourselves. I can do it all myself because I am smart. I have abilities. I can do it. But no, only God can do all that stuff. So you have to trust him. Trust in the new creation in you, which is Jesus in you. See, when you got born again, God did not wave his hand over you and then you were all better and all that, No, he actually came into you, and that's the new you. The new you is Christ in you. The new you is not you fixed up, you a better person. So don't worry about your outward man. It's the inward man that God counts. The Bible says the outward man profits nothing. It's the inward man, the heart. It's the heart. The Bible, not the letter, but the spirit, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's what you want. The living word, not the dead letter, not the letter that's black and white. You read something, you go, God, what does you, like when I read creation or create, I got to know, what does that mean? Does that mean me? Does that mean, you know, the bios, the world, the trees and woods and all that kind of stuff? You got to look at all that stuff and find out what all that means, because sometimes it means something way different than you think. Sometimes it means us. And God's building a house. And every new creature, that's his stone he's molding to put Jesus the cornerstone and the apostles and prophets and all the people. And he's building this house. It's spiritual. Don't try to understand it. It's not like a house like we live in, but it's something. But it's spiritual. And God's taken all of you, new created people, new creations in Christ Jesus, and he's building this house. And then one day, when he comes back, we'll be married to him. He'll go up in heaven. Then when we come back, there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And there's going to be this huge thing come down. And it's that new Jerusalem, that new house that Jesus built is us. Is all of us. In one stone, it'll be perfect. There will be just the right amount of stones. The right amount of Gentiles will come in. The right amount of Jews will be there. Everything will be perfect. And God has all that in the future. And that's all. That's our hope. That's our heritage. That's the promise. One day, you will not receive the promise on this earth. Yeah, promise that He'll take care of you and He'll heal you and He'll supply all your needs. But the real promise, that's later. That's future. So all promises, and then we just live by faith. That's why you can make it through this world, because we have forgiveness in the past. We have hope for the future. Even me, even though I'm getting old, like Pastor Jim, the Bible says you'll bear fruit even in old age. So what? You don't even have to worry about getting old.
Praise God.
What if you die? So what? You get to go be with the Lord, so who cares? Don't be afraid to die, or don't be afraid to live. Don't be afraid to die, and don't be afraid to live. If you live, your life is with it's Christ. To die is gain. So either way, you're okay. You're going to make it. So you don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about life. Jesus is all that. He'll take care. He's got all that already taken care of. So your life, so you don't have to be afraid ever of anything. Most people are afraid to live. They're just afraid. That's why people drink. That's why people party. That's why people have all these distractions in their life, because they don't want to live. But life is only found in Jesus. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And once you have that, you have everything. You have everything. It says that in the Bible. The Bible says, Paul said, I got everything I need. It's sufficient. I got, even though I've been persecuted, beaten with the cord, beaten with the whip, shipwrecked, in perils of robbers, in perils here, people trying to kill me all the time and do all this stuff. He goes, man, my God just supplied all my needs. I have nothing to worry about. Even though I might have been almost killed or whatever. Even if I do get killed, so what? It's not that interesting or important. Because you got to look at life like eternity. This life is just like it's like your lawn, you know. It's like our lawn anyway. It's really green this spring, and then soon now it's like all brown. But it's like that. Our lives are just very brief. I mean, look, I'm 60 years old, so I've been, compared to, 6,000 years, that's not very long. So I've only been here a little while. Compared to eternity, if you're a new creation, then you have all eternity. So my eternity has already started. 30 years ago, whatever it was, when I got born again, 35 years, 36 years ago, that's when my life started. But it's eternal life. So it'll go on and on and on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Because my hope, my trust is in Him. And so the new creation, just remember that if this message, just remember the new creation is Christ in you. Individually. I know people don't get that sometimes. They think, well, my life is not as really near as valuable as Pastor Jim. Or, name whatever preacher you want or person or the president. Man, I'm not nearly as important. But you are.
Amen.
In God's eyes, you are.
Amen.
You know what? When you go to heaven, the wicked, whoever the wicked are, you know who they are. There's a lot of wicked. You won't remember it. You don't even remember their names. You don't even know who they are. The Bible says that'll all be forgotten. And their names will be no more in remembrance. You can read it. Read it in Psalms. And you'll look and you'll go, wow, what happened? It'll be sudden. The Lord will come quickly and He will not delay. It'll be so quick, you'll just be dumbfounded and you'll look, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to all the wicked people? Well, they're no more. And they'll never rule, they'll never be again, ever. And our job is to be salt and light and to pray for them and to love them and to do good to our enemies and all that good stuff. And to pray for them and to love them. And then as many as will come, will come. The fullness of the Gentiles, we're living in the age of Gentiles right now, but they're coming. There's tons of them getting saved and coming into the kingdom of God. And that's our job, is just to be salt and light in this world. Can we do that? No. Just do it by faith. I believe you guys are too. We're all salt and we're all light in this world, just like Jesus was. But it doesn't look like it, because we almost look like everybody else, I guess. I don't know how we look, but sometimes it looks pretty bad. And I'm going, God, this is all light you got. You better get somebody else. But really, that's you and me. And all we're doing is spending time with the Lord. That's all. That's so simple. Simplify your life down to that. To seek first the kingdom of God. And, you know, we can all just put away our phones and whatever and just read your Bible and get to know Jesus. And you can do it. And it's not, it's just, you got to look at things and ask, you got to ask, what's interesting about the Bible? That's why I like using this Bible. Well, I use the interlinear. I have several Bibles, but I read my Bible, and then I have to look in the concordance or whatever. I look up words and stuff like that. But I don't like using, I don't use electronics to do all that. I use a regular thing, because then I'm talking to Jesus the whole time. And as I'm flipping the page, I'm going, praise God, you know, whatever, talking to Jesus. And then it's just fun spending time with the Lord. So look at it like that. Don't look at it as reading the Bible like it's something separate from Jesus. It's Jesus talking to you. It's God Himself writing a letter to you. Because this book, it says, and especially in Peter, it's pretty strong. It says, the word, we have a more sure word of prophecy that you do well to take heed. And it was written, when it was written down, it says the Holy Spirit spoke these words and then he wrote them down. So this is actually from God. It's not. I don't read it like it's from the Paul or from Peter or from Jeremiah or Moses. I read it like it's a letter from God. And when God speaks, it's always important. And I don't even understand it all. I read it anyway. I don't even. Some of it I read, I go, man, that's just, it's too weird. Like, especially Ezekiel. I know Jim's going through Ezekiel right now, so I'm reading the book of Ezekiel. Some of it's like, you know, the wheel within a wheel. And it's like, what? No. So you just have to, ask the Lord. If the Lord doesn't give you understanding, just keep reading it and then go. And it, pretty soon something will make sense to you. And you go, oh, yeah. It's talking about Jesus or, you know. So anyway, God is good. Just remember, you are a new, I know it's kind of short today, but I just want everybody to be encouraged about being a new creation and not worrying. Cast all your cares on the Lord. Don't let everything be done in love, the Bible says, and that's by faith. Let everything be done in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And that's the direction we're headed. We're all headed to be made perfected in love. And that's why we have pastors, and that's why we have teachers, and that's why we have evangelists, and that's why we have apostles, and that's all those gifts are for. That's it. And those people that God has called to do all that, they are bound by that book to do it right, to be a good shepherd. All you got to do is feed the flock of God is amongst you, not for money, not by constraint, not for filthy lucre, and you just have to die and give your life to it, and that's it. But really, it's not that hard to be, if God's called any of you, I'm sure he has called all of you. All you do is do your daily thing. You don't have to even prepare for sermons and stuff. I mean, you do kind of. But you really, all you're doing is doing your daily thing. That way, that day, God spoke to you, and that's what you share. New creation, or you share whatever that God spoke to you that day. And I know that's how Jim is, too. He studies every day. He prays every day, so he always has something to say. And we should all be like that, have something to say every day, because God speaks to us every day. But don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Just do it by faith. And God will speak to you. It could be something really... have you ever spoken to somebody, like your wife especially, or your husband? God showed you something, and you're just all pumped and excited about it. And you think, man, they're going to be... this is awesome. Or I'm going to tell Pastor Jim, man, he's going to think I'm awesome. And then they look at you like, what? No. It's very disappointing, let me tell you. So it doesn't matter what other people, you know, think about the word you got from the Lord or anything like that. Man, I tell you, most of the words I get from the Lord are so simple. Like this new creation thing is so simple.
Praise God.
But it busts because you forget. You forget. I'm telling you, we are the most forgetful people. We forget. And then God, that's why Peter said, I'm writing you another letter to remind you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said all of a sudden, Paul, the same thing. I'm writing this letter to remind you guys, don't be, you know, don't listen to these guys. Listen to these, you know, whatever. So that's why we don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together, even though it seems boring and insignificant. When you get to heaven, it won't be.
Amen.
It won't be at all. Even in this life, it won't be. It's significant to meet together. It doesn't matter if it's two people or three people or four people or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people. If you meet together, house churches, whatever, it's good.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Hallelujah.
It's encouraging.
Hallelujah.
It's encouraging to see, you know, Alex lead worship. It's encouraging to see you guys. That, and every time I call Pastor Jim on the phone, he goes, do you still love Jesus? Yes, every time. No, not today, no. I say, amen, praise the Lord. But he says that every time. Well, that's what it's for. That's why we meet together, so that, you know, we remember that. Because sometimes you can go a whole week without seeing a Christian, I guess. I could, except for my family. I could be at work, going different places, and it's all, and then you see somebody that loves Jesus. Like, it's encouraging. Man, God's real. Because Alex still loves Jesus, and Raul still loves Jesus, and man, it's encouraging, right? Just to see people come to church and to love God, and it's encouraging. It makes it real to you. Because if you're just by yourself all the time, then you get discouraged sometimes or whatever. But it's good to come together and see everybody. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Does anybody have something they want to pray about?
I'm not prayer wise, just your words spoke to me today. I mean, that's what we've been doing is like a lot of, my dad passed away, we had a funeral, we've gone to graduations, and just all that busy stuff. And it's, I wanted to try to say this without being judgmental or anything, but like when we go to the graduation, I'm not going to name names, but it's like we got to visit one of the big churches, you know.
Yeah.
Has the powerful band, and I'm just like, I'm just blown away that what Bible is he even reading from, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the guy had, like, the speakers all throughout, you know, thank God I had my son that, like, needed to go to the restroom, and I could get out of there for a little bit, and, but he had the speakers wired through the restrooms, and all out in the concession stand where you can get...
Wow.
But anyway, the point is this is real, you know.
Right.
All that was entertainment, you know. It's like just satisfying you. But it's
amen.
Like when you get to see the difference, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's like I'm not better than you, but it's like you kind of are blessed.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Well, salvation.
To know the difference, you know.
Yeah.
Salvation comes from faith.
Right.
A lot of people preach it comes from self-effort.
Right.
All self-effort does is bring you disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
It brings you discouragement. It brings you depression. Or it brings you pride.
Right.
None of which is good.
Right.
If you have Jesus in you, and you have faith with Jesus in you, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All
right.
You have love. You have forgiveness. You have all the gifts.
Amen. That's right. You always have to start out your walk with the Lord every day in happiness. Like I told you before, you always start in victory. You never start confessing your sin or having a problem or something like that. Because you really have no problems. Although you have tons. You have none. Because you give them all to Jesus. But you really, your happiness is what is everything. It's everything. If you're not happy, you will never be holy. If you're not happy, you will never serve the Lord. If you're not happy, you're not going to know Him. Happy is the man. Happy, happy, happy. So start out with happiness by faith. God, I'm happy today. I am joyful. I am just excited to be a Christian. And yeah, I might even be totally lying, but you're not. You're just saying it by faith. I'm serious.
Yeah.
You can't check out your flesh. You can't check out how you emotionally feel.
No.
I don't know how many people I talk to all the time, like you were just saying. They're always checking their emotions. Always. They're just emotional about everything. Well, I don't know. I just don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like that's right. Or I don't feel like I'm a good Christian. Or I don't feel like I'm happy. Or I don't feel like I'm this or that. That is not, you're not checking. Check with the Bible. The Bible says that you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Happy is the man who's going through this, whatever. So we're happy all the time.
Amen.
All the time. Especially when you wake up in the morning, go for happiness right off the bat. Just go for that. Don't worry about, you know, just make Jesus love you and He will. You don't make Him. I'm just saying that kind of facetiously. But you have to go right to Jesus and just say, Jesus, man, I'm happy. And I know that everything is working together for my good. And I say that. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I say that every day. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new again. And I'm happy. Then I can go on with my other stuff. Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
I was just going to comment about what Tim was talking about, the church that we went to. Because, you know, Pastor Jim, he's always saying that, you know, you can build a giant church like that on flesh. But, like, seeing it was really sad. It was like, you know, like for me, just weighed on my heart, and because it's a strong spirit that wants to elevate the flesh. You know, it's whatever it is, it's something strong though. You know, to keep people from God or whatever, separate. Because you know, it's that lust of the eye. It's something outward. I don't know that you're drawn into for some reason. But this whole church was built on an immature guy, you know, in his house saying, I'm going to build a whole church on people builders.
Yeah.
And so all those people were out there trying to work, you know.
Yeah.
And it just was like, I think we're seeing it everywhere. Where like now, if you know the Lord, you're like, how do people don't see the Lord now? It seems so obvious or whatever. There's just a sorrow, you know, for those people. I don't know.
Right.
If it was just how God was feeling or what, but just a sorrow for people wanting to know but not knowing.
Right.
You know, how easy it is that God does it all, all that.
But at the same time, God's got the whole world in His hand.
Those
people will be okay, you know.
Yeah,
because God had, like,
it was amazing to see that spirit, like, wow.
Churches like that, especially churches, big churches. Our church is so small, but big churches usually have, even that's been my experience when I went to two churches back when I first got saved that were really huge, but there's always a group in there that are meeting in homes, that are excited about the Lord.
Yeah.
So no matter where you go, even in a Catholic church, I believe even in maybe some of the religions we would say that are cults, there's always people that love the Lord. They're just hidden. And I don't know why God does it that way. And I know my mom and dad even, they're Catholics. But, you know, they love the Lord. And it's just interesting. And all we have to do in our lives is we just withdraw from certain things, from the whore and from the beast and from all that. And you got to let God do that, because you're not going to solve those problems. For instance, all the social problems we have now, supposedly what they call social problems, you're not going to solve any of that. It'll never be solved till Jesus comes back. People will be hating and hating one another. That's just the way it is. It'll always be that way. So you're not going to solve a lot of problems. Nothing will be perfect. Politically, it won't be perfect. Churches won't be perfect. Our church won't be perfect. No church will be perfect. You got to wait till the Lord comes back. But you as an individual is the most important. You individually are the most important. That's what God's doing. God's individually working on Alex. He's individually working on, you know, every one of us. And that's important to God. You are important to God. You are the apple of his eye. You are everything to him. If you were the only person in the world that was a Christian, God would be happy. He'd be ecstatic. Oh, I got one. Because he's happy with Jesus. He's already happy and pleased with us. And I don't have to even do anything. I don't have to clean my life up. I don't have to be holy. I don't have to be anything. God's already pleased with you because he's pleased with Jesus. And who's in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. New creation, that's it. New creation. Kine kinesis. It's a new creation. You're unique. Never been one of you ever, since the beginning of time. Jesus. And that's how good God is. And you're going to be each stone that builds on that house, I was telling you earlier, is an individual stone. It has its own unique carvings and whatever. Have you ever seen a house built of brick? Oh, we all have. Or stone. Especially stone. Not so much brick. But stone. If you build something out of stone, every stone is different. I built a fireplace when I was out in East Texas. I built a fireplace. I made it out of flagstone. But every stone was different. But I made it to where they all fit. And they all had the same joints, you know, between them, and they'd all kind of fit together. It looked really cool. That's us. Even though we're all individual stone, we are individual. I don't know why I'm trying to emphasize that, but you got to know that you personally, with God,
amen,
it's personal to you.
Yeah.
I can't have my relationship for you, and you can't have your relationship for me. All we can do is encourage one another in the Lord, edify one another, build one another up, and that's it. It's up to God to do it. Well, actually, it's up to God to encourage too, but it's up to God to do everything. So you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. But the new creation in you, remember, is Jesus in you, Christ in you. It's not you in you or your flesh or him improving you. You will never improve. So right now, in your life, don't improve. Don't. It's a waste of time, because you're going to get into some law or some, like a lot of people are in, I'm not saying it's wrong, but like I know a lot of people that are in like workout routines and stuff like that. But they're bound to it. So now that they began that, now they got to, it's okay to do it. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying don't be so interested in this world stuff. Just do what God tells you to do, and love God, and just do it by faith. Like the brother was saying, it's just all by faith. The just shall live by faith. So you're living by the gospel only. That's it. You have nothing else. You got nothing else going for you. And it, but you have everything going for you. You have nothing going for you, but you have everything going for you. So it's awesome. Let's pray. If anybody has a need, a physical need, a financial need, anything, let's pray. And God will answer prayer. He always answers prayer. Always. Because he's obligated by his word. Oh, you want to do the offering first?
Yeah, we will. I was going to suggest that we pray for this meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Praise God.
Okay.
It's good.
Regarding North Korea.
How do you, I know God. How to spell. How do you pronounce the guy's name?
Kim Jong-un. Ud.
Ud?
Kim Jong-un.
Who's calling? We'll call him Kim.
Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Praise God.
All right, let's do.
Amen.
How are you doing? All right. God's good.
Amen.
All right. Father, we just thank you for your, that you always, always, always meet all of our needs. And I thank you, Father, as we're giving today, that you just, we just remember, Father, that you promised you'd supply all of our needs. That's emotional, physical, spiritual, every need. You've already provided salvation. You've already provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've always provided, you even provided heaven for us already. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for this meeting coming up with Trump and Kim. Lord, we just thank you that you would, God, have your way. And God, please, Lord, just in the name of Jesus, give Trump wisdom.
Yes.
Let him just put his hope, his trust in you, that he could say exactly the words he needs to say, no more, no less, but he would say exactly what he needs to say, and that and all the negotiations and soften the hearts of both of them, that they would be able to do everything that needs to be done, Lord, to be a blessing, Lord, so we could continue to get the gospel out, continue to give us time, all of us, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your church to be ready, spot without blemish, without wrinkle, Lord, so that when you come back, you can say to all of us in this room, all that you have called, that they could say, that you could say to them, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you didn't do anything, I did everything. I did everything in you. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that Jesus himself is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are lords, we are kings, but Jesus is our Lord. He's our the one that's perfecting us. He's the one who began a good work in us, born us again, and he's also the one that's finishing everything. And Father, I pray for everyone here, Lord. I pray for health, Lord, that anyone has an ailment in any way, Father, I pray that you would heal it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that, because you promised. We're just reminding you of your promises that you have made to us. All your promises are yes and amen. Thank you that every need is met, financial need, every emotional need is met in Christ Jesus. And that we are happy. We are a happy people. We are a blessed people because the Bible says we are. And we just believe that by faith. And thank you, Father God, for giving us every man a measure of faith. And giving us hope. God, we have hope. Hope for the future. That we're victorious, and all our enemies will be under our feet, and that we will rule in heaven with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. And Lord, we thank you for that. We even so come, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, come quickly. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.